I want to humbly welcome all of you to the line tonight, our fellow soldiers, our brothers and sisters, warriors. God is doing such great things. Daryl pulls good news out and shares it with you each night, but he has to sort through a lot of good news these days to give you the very best. And although on the surface it looks like we're losing, but the truth is, and if you look just a little deeper, you'll see it, that the truth is God is winning. But you know how it goes. One of his tactics in war is to lure the enemy in, to lure them into a place that they believe with all their hearts is going to give them uncalculated, untold victories. Maybe even that every dream they've ever had will come to pass with these victories. So they charge right in. And when God knows that he's got the whole slew of them, he closes the port and they can't get out. And because they can't get out, justice is God's. The good thing about this, well, there are several good things. One of the good things about this is they won't be free to keep doing the corrupt things that they've been doing. That's good for the country and it's good for them. Because when a man is corrupt, that corrupt, that he knows and recognizes no boundaries, I think you would all agree with this. Unfortunately, he loses. It's like he goes ballistic. And every concern that he's ever had is thrown to the wind as he just gets out his weapon and starts firing. So it's good for him that God is doing what he's doing. Because the spilling of innocent blood is a serious crime, as you know. And they may be able to elude justice here in the everyday community of the law, but they can't elude God's justice. They will see it, and hopefully many will repent, turn, and get saved. So for their sake, it's good news. For the nation's sake, children can be at peace. Many people that might have suffered great loss just shortly down the road will have their children. So we just can't thank God enough for all the good that he's doing, that we know, and all the good that he's doing that we do not yet know. Let me tell you just one more thing, and then I'll move into sharing a little bit about what we're going to be doing tonight. It's going to be a little different, maybe for the next 2 weeks, maybe for three, I'm not sure yet, but at least for the next 2 weeks. I had, in a very short period of time, three visions of Joe Biden. This took place shortly after he became the president. And in these visions, all three of the visions, he went over a cliff. But he went over the cliff three different ways. In one of the visions, he was standing near the cliff, dressed as Joe ordinarily dresses, when suddenly a man in a suit, a business suit, with dress shoes, came up and punched him in the shoulder so hard that Joe went toppling like a cartwheel over the cliff. And when you look down to see where he went, it was like there was no bottom to this cliff. It was scary. And then I had another vision that was very similar to the first with the same men. So I won't go over that. But the next vision I had was of Joe standing right next to the same cliff, and a man walked by him. In both instances, or all three, the man that was used was almost like a Superman figure. So when he got punched hard. So in this third one, this other man who was like a Superman figure walked by him, realized who he was, and he picked up his foot and slammed his foot into his leg right at his knee. And because of the way it bent his leg, he couldn't support himself. He couldn't sustain himself. So over the cliff he went. Same cliff, same valley at the deep end. But it was amazing how quickly after his election, God gave me those visions. And some of you may have even seen the vision on the internet by JFK Jr., who had a similar vision. His vision wasn't of Joe Biden in an outdoor scene, but in a church. And he was acting in such a way as to mock the church. And I can't remember all the details. I wouldn't give them if I could. But the way it ended up is he got knocked off. He was like going from, you know how a church pew has a seat and then has the back, and he was walking on the back of these church pews. Well, somehow he got hit and down to the floor he went. And that was the end of Joe. The Lord brought all of these back to me this afternoon. And he said, you're about ready to see these things come to pass. Now, I have only just recently seen a vision, very uncomfortable vision, wherein Mr. Biden was preparing to deliver a speech on national television. As he got behind his makeshift, I guess you'd call it pulpit, his makeshift pulpit, he put his two hands on either side of it and put his head down. There was much more to this experience, but I just want to pass over this quickly until we get to the next statement about Joe. So he puts his hands on either side of what he had in front of him to put his paperwork on. with its head down. You could faintly hear a noise in the background. It was dark. But he gets on the platform. He's poised to do what he's going to do next. Suddenly, he lifts his head and starts talking. And as he lifts his head, we see that on his right eye, he has a red eye that is like a technical eye. It's like a high-tech eye. And it was literally attached to his skin. He would not have been able to take it off easily, maybe even would have needed surgery. As he lifted his head and we all saw this red thing on his eye, we kind of got a little nervous. But when his head was totally erect, he looked around. He had like CIA people on either side of him, protecting him. And he said, he spoke his name, and I am here to tell you that the New World Order has been implemented, and we are now the New World Order. When we heard him say that, we gasped. We were in horror. We couldn't believe this happened. And how could it have happened? Let's pass from that one now to something that is more recent. Here we have Joe, who is still exercising authority over America. He's revealed the deception that he's been hiding all this time. And he goes along his business as though nothing was wrong. He told us at the previous situation that he had military all over the nation to handle the chaos when people learned that we were now in the New World Order. But now in this last experience, he is walking, on the sidewalks of Washington, D.C., there where government stands. And he was walking. If your eye looked at him in the natural, he was walking like Joe Biden. But in the spirit, he was walking like a beast. A beast far beyond himself. This beast wasn't even a real beast. It was a created beast with high intellect, as though it had a computer brain. And he's walking the streets of D.C. with this puff on his chest, as though to say, I am the New World Order. And he would keep getting this look on his face. And people would see him who didn't even understand what that vocabulary, that vernacular could possibly mean. Yet he's traipsing up and down the sidewalk of Washington, D.C., broadcasting his new place of power. When suddenly everything went black. And what I want to say about all this, in every place that Joe feels like he's won, that very place will be the death of his leadership. Every place that Joe sincerely believes that he is one, and he's one for the New World Order, will be the place of the death of his authority. So we need not fear Joe. We need to be praying against his plans and purposes, praying exactly what I just said. Oh, Daryl is telling me that being hit by on the shoulder like that is speaking of the man like sabotaging his strength. He lost his governmental shoulder. He lost his governmental authority and strength when he was hit in the shoulder. And then Ricky said to me, his strength has finished steadily since you saw that, Mom. So interesting, isn't it? This is going to be one time that the family of Joe Biden is going to wish they had not pushed quite so hard, because the New World Order, the Illuminati, the elite, they could care less what happens to Joe as long as they get what they want. And yet he is coming into a time in his life where everything that he thought he had is going to collapse before him. And it's needed. It needs to happen for the sake of America and for the sake of Joe, so that he's not constantly washing his hands on the death of innocent blood. So his whole family is behind him in this endeavor. They're as blind as he is, and I look at him and think he's as blind as a bat. But they are too. The Dems really believe that this is their hour of making America communist. But they will go down in history as this season that they are in was the season of that demise. Pray for it in faith. Pray for it knowing that God would be pleased with your prayers, and he will give us two parties that will be good for America. Praise God. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I came out to my desk to meet with you, and the Lord quickens all of these visions back to me that I haven't thought about in a long, long time. But we're right there. We're so close to seeing these come to pass, you can almost touch them. So tonight, Ricky and I have been meeting together to discuss certain issues that we're going to go over quickly here. And I got elected to bring some of them forth to you, and then she has issues on this list that she's been seeing prophetic things for. So I'm going to quickly go through some of them. She'll come on, share what she has seen, give it back to me. So we're going to, you know, pass the baton back and forth. I hope it's not confusing, because it's all very important. If you can make a list, if you can just take some notes until you can get a hold of the copy of the message, it might be worth it for you for the sake of intercession. So we are in a time of refinement before the glory. And there's only one refining standard in the kingdom of God, and that is the cross. Jesus went to the cross to virtually and literally take death from it. Now his church must go through the cross that they can literally overcome the world in the faith and power of Jesus Christ, who has already done that on our behalf. And because by the time this refining is over, we are going to be granted such a high and holy authority, it's important that you not fear, but rather that you submit to God's hand at this time in humility, because the benefit will be far greater if you do. He is creating godly virtues and character in his church. Sometimes, well, there are a great many people, really, large percentage, that hear the gospel preached and they love it. They love the messages. Maybe even spend time in the Word every day and they love the message of the Word. But they've never learned to make it applicable to the deep things of their heart so that they could actually be free of the world. They think just to love it is what they're supposed to do. But God wants to make godly virtues and character. And to have that, there has to be a heart of submission to the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the Word of God. So just know that we're going to begin to see that standard changed. God is going to send, as Daryl went through so many things, revival, reformation, revolution, on and on and on. We'll go over that tomorrow night. He is sending, has sent, is sending these things upon his church. And as the fire of his word enters into the heart of his church, we will see coming forth godly virtues and character. And it's really going to beautify and empower the church in ways that are beyond our ability to speak. To become all that we desire in him and all that he desires for us, we need to learn how to pray with a heart that is quiet and listening to the word of the Lord or to the essence of the Holy Spirit's thoughts, however he would speak to you through the word, through a word, however it would come to you, that you would hear it, receive it, and rise up in it, always being teachable. Now, the great thing is, it's his grace that helps us. It's his grace that strengthens us. And when we obey, his grace always helps us in that obedience. So praise God. I think we'll have a few more people actually obeying the word, not just enjoying it. Then he says, move from the books a little closer to his word in prayer. He wants to speak to us through his word. He wants to speak to us in a time of prayer. But sometimes all these books we read that we think are really giving us insight are interrupting what he is trying to give us. So he wants us to be less dependent on these books and more dependent on his word. Okay, Ricky, letter E.
Thank you, Mom. So the next thing is that God is going to begin giving dreams to his people, and you know, several months ago, the Lord had given me a dream about this very thing. And, you know, I saw this with the children. And the children were having wonderful dreams about heaven, about the Lord. And they were drawing pictures of it and taking it to the school. And they were sharing it with their friends, teachers, even school administrators. Their lives were being changed because of what the children were drawing on those pages. And so he's going to be, and the Lord had told Mom, he's going to begin giving dreams to his people. And so not only to the children, but to us. But if we're not in his word and we're not spending time in prayer, we are not going to receive these gifts he wants to give us. Not only that, our understanding and discernment about the dreams is going to be different than what God intended. One of the issues that we have with the internet today is that it really distracts us. There's so many people out there. There's so much information out there. God is wanting us to return to our first love. In the message I did, The Rebirth of a Nation, a few weeks ago, it's up on our website, the Lord had given me four things that he wants to do within us so that we can align ourselves with him to bring about his plans and his purposes. And the first one is the church needs to return to its first love. One of the goals of the Communist Manifesto was to infiltrate and weaken the church because they knew if as long as the church remained steadfast, it could never capture a nation. And they have infiltrated and weakened the church. If you couple that with the internet and the many voices that are out there, we have so many voices speaking into our lives. How do we know what is coming from the Lord? How are we bringing ourselves in to the quiet place and spending time with him to hear his voice? I once heard it said that the Lord does not like multitasking. He does not want us dividing our time with him and other things.
It's true.
There is an appointment that he has with you every day. Whether or not that appointment is kept is up to you. Will you go and will you meet him at that appointment? And if you will be faithful, he will unpack his word and he will speak to you. He wants us to return to our first love. The second thing is we need to protect and prioritize God's plan over our own. It's important that we remain active in this battle. We're in the war for the soul of our nation, and we need to view this season as we would wartime. Set aside the distractions, our program, our agendas, and focus on the battle that we're in. So return to our first love and protect and prioritize God's plan over our own. The third thing is we need to see events through the lens of the Lord, and I'll talk more about that later. Fourth, we need to pray for and pursue the awakening. And Mom has talked about that. I've talked about that. We need to set aside as part of our own personal prayer time in aligning ourselves with God to bring about his plans and purposes for our nation. We need to set aside time seeking him and praying for the awakening. So I think that that's it for me right now, Mom.